story. When I was a youth pastor, I led tons of adventure trips where we'd do spelunking and rappelling, and I would do whitewater rafting, all sorts of fun stuff. One of my biggest failures was in rappelling. This isn't me. I looked all over for my own things, but it was a very similar look except for the gloves. That will play into this because I was always the leader, so I was always going to go first, and that's just what you do as a leader. So you just go first. But to rappel, you actually have to be in that seated position and then walk backwards off of that. So you don't even really hold the rope. You can, but holding the rope is just gonna lead to pain. And so one time I'm leaning back in, and of course I'm the first one to go off this ledge, and I'm leaning back and I just can't do it. I reach up, grab the rope with my bare hands and slide about 6 feet, you know, and just burn my fingers crispy. I mean, they were crispy in there, and then they jam against the wall because, you know, your rope is keeping you stuck there. So I'm there but it's this whole process of just trust, just lean back, trust your equipment, sit in that posture, and then go for it. And I certainly couldn't quite pull that one off. But this, the word leaning is a really interesting word for the kings of Israel. They would have alliances that they would make all the time. And Yahweh would say, why are you making an alliance? You have me. Why are you going to this other king to try to get resources, to get horses? Don't lean on, one phrase that keeps coming up, don't lean on Egypt. They're like a reed that when you lean on it, it splinters and gives you slivers, right? They're not stable. They're not something stable. And I just want to take you through this passage in 2 Chronicles 20. It's going to start, though, just back a little bit. And the main point, I think, is just it's so easy to turn our face from Jesus. It's so easy to say, well, I'm going to trust in this, or I'm going to trust in maybe when the government does the stimulus package, or maybe this, I'll be able to figure these things out. And it's just so stinking simple. And even though it makes sense to us to just grab the rope, it's so counterintuitive to actually just trust Jesus. And so that's the rhythm that, as we've heard tonight, some of the prayers is just, okay, Jesus, keep me in constant conversation with you. Keep that a movement in my life so I keep my face turning toward you. So in 2 Chronicles 16, Asa is this king, and a word came to him. And he says, because you relied on or leaned on the king of Syria and didn't rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Assyria has escaped you. And he's like, remember the Ethiopians and the Libyans? They were amazing. They had huge armies. And do you remember what happened? You relied on the Lord. He gave them into your hands. And it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You've done foolishly, Asa, and from now on you will have wars. So it's just this, don't you remember what happened with them? Remember, I'm the one you can rely on. I'm the one you can lean on. Just sit back, let go of the rope, let go of your extra safety equipment, and just trust and believe in me. And then when it gets to Jehoshaphat, another find in here is just pretty amazing. 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat is facing down a huge army. And this is how to pray when you're in a big crisis. This is how you do it. In their case, they were going to be attacked by armies. In our case, it's different. We're usually not facing that kind of threat, but we do feel like we're under siege in many ways. So Jehoshaphat, who learned of the Lord, he learned about Yahweh, stood in the assembly and before the court that they had rebuilt and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is with able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they've lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house. And we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. We're not going anywhere else. When this stuff happens, we're not going to go to these other idols. We're not going to go to these other safeties, the supports. We're not just going to grab the rope and get burned. We're going to come right here to this house that has your presence in it. Your panim is your name, your presence, your very being. And we're going to come to you and we're going to cry out to you. And I just love that God says he's happy about this. Come, cry out to me. Come, pound on my doors. Come, knock down the doors of heaven. Come after me. I am ready to save. I love that. And so he says, behold, these people who are invading, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, whom they avoided and didn't destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession. So now we're in a situation where they're trying to kick us out of what you have given us to inherit. He says, oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we're powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. And then here's the statement that is just amazing. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do. We know where God is. We can bang on those doors. We can say, God, in our affliction, in our struggle, in our trouble, we are coming to you. But we don't know what else to do other than just to have our eyes on you. And he said, listen, all Judah. This was what one of the prophets now says. He says, listen, Judah inhabitants and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You can sit back into this one. You can sit this one out. You can just sit into your harness and rappel. I'm going to take care of you on this one. When he'd taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army. But do you see who they put out first? The praise team. This is, and if you remember the Battle of Jericho, they put the praise team out front. They put the worship leaders, the singers and the trumpet players, and they made music and exalted Yahweh. And that's what you're putting in front? Like I'm thinking shield wall. And they're saying, no, out front, I want the people in holy attire, and I want them to go before the army and say this, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Go out there in front of the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. That's your plan.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It sounds like they use them as bait because then they set an ambush.
Yeah, and so when they began to sing and praise, the Lord Yahweh set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah so that they were routed. So while they're praying, while they're praising, God sets an ambush and comes around those enemies. And so I just a simple question, you know, what is your prayer/praise strategy? It may be a song list. We were talking about that tonight, and there's one that's shared already in the chat. There's some new songs that for me are just rising up, that my strategy, my warfare is going to be in declaring the awesomeness of God. Jesse said it earlier. The strategy is going to be to not, and this is a little trite, not just tell God how big my problem is, you've all heard this one, but tell my problem how big God is, how big my God is, right? So to really come at it with a perspective that God is able and he's capable and that he hears your lament and he hears your cry. And so I think the combination of that, we know what we're going to do when times get tough. We know where we're going to go. We're going to come right to your face, and we're not going to lean on anybody else. That's a powerful statement. And yet they're going to be crying, and they're going to be lamenting, and they're going to be struggling in the midst of that hopeful environment, because God is the one who's going to come and do that. So it's this interesting tension between we don't have any fear. Well, no, we do have fear. You know, it's not we don't have fear. We have fear. We have real issues and real struggles. But we keep our eyes on Jesus the whole time. And those are going to be the Christians that come out of this moment. And I hope that many are saved and are baptized and brought into the churches through this time. But we've got to be the ones that keep our eyes on Jesus and share with others that awesome hope that we have, that we have one who's going to listen to us, the one who does actually care. And if he is waiting to act, it's for a good reason. And that takes all the faith in the world. But for our prayer and our praise, I think we've just got to keep that focused on Jesus, and we will come out the other side having a faith that's been tested and genuine and pure and something really to talk about.